Brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio,
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. It's Friday. Good morning, Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. So you can hop in our chat room. 7:06 in the morning, and I'm here with Savannah.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello.
You know what? I'm kind of liking that. No, wait a minute now. I'm starting to get a little concerned. Okay, well, tell us what the weather is first, and I'll tell you why. Is that sound? Oh, that's our little kitty of the week is there, just climbing all over Spencer's face. I like that. Okay. Anyway, what's the weather look like here?
Well, currently it is 55 degrees, going to get up to a high of 69 with a low of 51 and a 60% chance of rain.
Yeah. Well, when? Tell me it's got to be later today.
Yes, later today.
Okay. Tell me it's not going to be during the media trail ride we're doing with the Reading Rodeo guys today.
I think it's probably going to be around 11 p.m. tonight that it actually gets rainy.
Oh, okay. Then we're okay for this morning. All right. Good.
Saturday has a 40% chance of rain. It's going to get up to a high of 70, a low of 50. And Sunday's going to be a high of 81.
High of 81. Okay. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned company where their customers, it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. So, good morning. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get back to you in a second. You know, you've got that smile on your face.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, But Spencer's here.
Good morning.
Good morning, buddy. Now, you know what? You've brought just the cutest little kitty in.
Yes, I did. This morning I brought with me little Felipe.
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 Okay, wait a minute. How do we get Felipe? Is this kind of like a... Is this kind of like the Mexican Spitfire kitten family or what?
He's not a little Spitfire, but okay. I'm not sure how we got the name. Just I picked him out this morning, and his name just happened to be Felipe.
I mean, is his sister's name Lupe?
No, you know, he actually has a brother, and his brother's name is Cheese Ray.
Cheese Ray Felipe.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they came up with those names.
I will learn to stop asking where these come from. Okay, tell us about this cute little... Gosh, a little charcoal colored.
Yes. So this morning I brought Felipe. He's a two-month-old domestic medium hair kitten. So his hair is medium length. It's not super long, but it's not really short either. He is only 2 months old, so, you know, he's the typical kitten, playful, want to get into everything, and curiosity killed the cat. So, I mean, he's just at that age where everything's like, ooh, what is this? Can I play with that? Can I knock it off
kind
the
like
counter?
Kind of like a 16-year-old. Boy.
Yes. Okay. great little cat. He's almost solid black, but if you look like on his paws right here, the longer fur is actually a grayish color.
I know, that's what I meant. It's kind of a charcoal color there, like kind of blackish gray. Yeah.
Really unique. And, you know, in the sun, his black actually almost looks brown, almost really? Like a chocolate color.
Okay.
Very unique. I brought
with Gold Flex.
Yes.
They've been sprayed in. Okay. And you brought?
I brought Felipe this morning because currently at our shelter we have many, many kittens.
Yeah, it's that time of year.
It is that time of year. So it's the time of year also that we need foster parents. So, I mean, right now we have a couple moms with babies. We have little tiny babies that just aren't quite big enough yet to go out. And we need someone that can foster them until they are a little bit bigger. The foster care program, all you have to do is provide a nice, warm, safe environment and just give them a little bit of love. We will provide all the food, all the medical care, everything that you need, Haven Humane will provide.
Okay, Savannah, so you're going to take Felipe and be a foster mommy?
He's pretty darn cute, but no kitties for me.
No kitties for you. Okay, I don't know if you saw this commercial the other day, and it was this guy who's going across the desert, and he steps into this quicksand, and he's starting to go down. There's this cat that's with him. He goes, and whatever the cat's name is, you know, go, quick, go get help. Go get help. Yo, go get help. And the cat just looks at him and licks its paw. It's watching him sink into the quicksand. He's kind of watching. He goes, no, go get help. Go get help. And the guy sees going down under and says, cats, we'll never do this. So rely on your insurance company. You know. So, but it was pretty cool because that's the way cats are. You know, dogs will look at humans and they'll say, look, I'm being fed and watered and walked and taken care of. These people must be gods. And a cat looks at him and goes, look, I'm being fed and watered and all my, you know, I'm being taken care of. I must be a god.
Yep.
So anyway. All right. This is a cute kitty. It's leaning back right now. It's just looking for love. And you can come down to Haven Humane and acquire Felipe. And probably his – and Cheese Ray.
Well, you know, Cheese Ray, I do want to throw out there. Cheese Ray was actually born and his eyes didn't develop all the way. He looks identical to little Felipe here, but he is completely blind.
Okay. Well, so – I mean
– but you could still adopt both of them.
They would do well together.
You know
what? They would. You know, you'd have a CNI cat there. They would just walk around together, unless Felipe had a bad sense of humor and then go up to a certain point, and let Cheese Ray fall off the side of the couch and then giggle at him. I mean, you know. Anyway, okay. Anyway, this is a great looking cat. You're looking for a kitty? Come on down and get this one. Very. I mean, actually looks intelligent.
This one, or one of our many others,
or many others. Yeah, I'm sure you'll find one.
Yes,
or maybe many. All right. Spencer, thanks a lot. And again, for everything you do.
Thank you for having us.
Tell Mr. Story I said hello.
Will do.
Okay. Now, let's go back to you, Savannah. Hop back on here. Okay.
All right.
All right. Now, you were in Malaysia and Indonesia and all these other places, right?
Singapore, yeah.
Singapore, but Malaysia and Indonesia. A heavy Muslim population.
Yes.
And
okay. I see where you're going.
You see where I'm going? You know, now, since you've been back, now, the last few times I've seen you, you've got this head wrap, and it's getting bigger every time. I'm just wanting to know, is that in a couple of weeks, is it going to be like all of your hair?
A full
and then, turban? And then, well, yeah, you know, full on, and then a couple more weeks. And, you know, like pretty soon, the only thing we'll see is your eyes and your toes. Well, I mean.
Honestly, it's just going to depend on what I look like that day.
When you get up?
Yep.
is this kind of like Linda's baseball hat?
Yep. That's exactly what it is.
Okay. This is your baseball hat look when you wrap your head in this, and then you can put your long hair into the back of it.
But sometimes it would be nice to only be able to show your eyes. You could wear pajamas underneath, and you'd have no idea. No idea.
No idea. Well, there's... That's my Marines were over there for a while, and they were just, you know, did you see the eyes on that girl? It's time to send you home, son.
We wore one of those outfits for one day. It was very intriguing. It was interesting.
What's it do? Just, how does it make you feel?
Well, it was also like 90% humidity, so it was brutal, honestly.
Yeah, we used to think about that, too. Those things must smell great, but I mean... But I know, I mean, really, because you wear—I mean, you do wear your clothes underneath it, and this is just to go out.
Yeah.
And the idea of wearing this, though, I mean, so you are you a non-person at that point? Because you can't see your face, and you're just something that's moving through there. I mean, did you feel different?
I did, and the most interesting part is that's when they told us we looked the most beautiful. Isn't that strange?
And who told you that?
The women. They were like, oh, you look so beautiful now that you're covered. It was like, oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? And, well, it's their culture. You're covered up, and so now you're beautiful. And, you know, then that people rely on your brain and your, you know, how articulate you are and your eyes.
I guess.
And toes.
One day. One evening was enough.
Is that right?
Yep.
And you see that. So, but what do you think? It does it make you also feel marginalized?
Oh, yeah. I mean, being in a culture, it took me a while because I had a good laugh over it a couple times. Like, oh, I'm not allowed to eat dinner with men. Okay, I must be silent when a man's in the house. Like, it just kind of felt, for me, a little bit ridiculous because in the United States.
You must be silent when a man is in the house.
Yeah, and so it was just like.
Unless you're addressed.
Yeah.
You just can't come up and go. Hey, Carl.
Hi there. And I can't shake their hand because that means a certain thing.
You can't touch them.
And so it just kind of felt like,
you can't travel unless they give you permission. And it's somebody, a male in your family. It could be a younger brother. So
just because I was a girl.
Just because you were a girl. So are women second-class citizens? Did you feel that?
I don't think I got to spend enough time.
See, just because, and reason, there's a reason for that, because a lot of people go, oh, yeah, they can't, you know, they can't talk, you know, to, and they can't talk while man's in the house, you can't eat dinner with men, blah, you need all this permission. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're a second class citizen if you're revered. I mean, this is, these are the way, you know, these are their customs. But it doesn't mean that women aren't revered. What I saw, though, when I was in the Middle East, one of the several times I was over there, that women were not revered, that they were treated more like a possession in many cases, even if there was some kind of love there.
I didn't witness that as much, but when we were spending time on some of the islands, we found out that many of the husbands, because they were fishermen, they'd go from island to island, mm-hmm. that they had multiple wives on each island. And so I can't imagine that feeling great. But the host home that we were with, they were actually a very sweet couple. Very sweet couple. They were giving us marriage advice and really enjoyed each other. So
they're giving you marriage advice?
They were.
And your marriage advice was?
It was actually quite precious. They said, if you find someone that you just can't live without them, marry them. That was pretty much the advice.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah, I think we were in a special home, though. So
in a special home. Okay. Hey, we've got to take a break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso gels with all types of great, great, great coffees there. Any type you could possibly want. And you can, and veterans will get a discount at Espresso Joe's. Walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in the state, chock full of great cigars. And then in the shop itself, the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. All of this at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. All right, we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lundebot, KCNR, 1460.
A 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty and complimentary lifetime oil changes with every vehicle purchased. That's Redding Kia with cool April deals all month long.
Like 0% financing for 60 months or $3,000 in Kia lease cash on the all-new 2015 Kia Sedona. It completely redefines family transportation from top to bottom. Rated number one by Motor Trend March 2015.
Get cool April deals with super low financing on all-new Sorentos, Optimas, Sportages, Fortes, and Rios, too.
It's a great time to own a new Kia during Redding Kia's cool April deal sale. Redding Kia, where you always get more for your trade-in.
Plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, dealer document processing charges, any emission testing charge must finance through Kia Motors Finance for 0% finance and lease cash offers on approval of credit subject to prior sale. Sale ends May 4th.
Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, reddingkia.com.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Redding Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Redding has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Linda Bott.
Join me here on KCNR 1460 AM at 6 p.m. on Thursday nights for On the Spot with Linda Bott. You'll hear wonderful interviews with musicians, artists, winemakers, chefs, business owners, and designers, just to name a few. Girls just want to have fun, and we do. Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here with On the Spot with Linda Bott. Brought to you by Dandelion Boutique, Crackmaster Windshield and Repair, and Wind River Casino and Hotel.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. I just had this urge to listen to the Yellow Rose of Texas, and Savannah can find anything. What I do is I try to find songs that I don't think she can find. And there has not been one yet that she hasn't dug out of the art someplace.
Thank you, YouTube.
Okay. Hey, welcome back. The time on deck is 7:22, 53 degrees out there. We have chance for thunderstorms tonight, but it's going to be up to like 69 today. Phone lines are 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Oh, yeah. If there's a chip or a crack up to 2 inches in length, 2 feet in length, Jeff Wurst can fix it. It's a better-known business. He guarantees his work. You can give him a call at 241-8373. Now, he fixed a about an 8 to 10-inch crack in my windshield 6 or 7 years ago. You can't see it. And anytime anything would happen, he said, just bring it back in after 7 years. Okay, Jeff. This is a great guy. And you stop by 3208 Market Street or give him a call at 241-8373. Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. You know, the other day, there was a lot of consternation because President Obama was talking about the Turks and the Armenians and massacre or genocide, and he refused to use that word, and it caused a lot of consternation. And we have on the phone Janice Portacalli. And Janice, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Thank you for this opportunity.
Sure. You called the other day with, you know, concerning this, and I said, you know, this may be something a lot of people are not up on or not really fully aware of. Could you kind of outline everything?
Yes. I'd like to give some, just a few facts, the basics, and then the personal effect of this. This is April 24th, 1915, was the start of the second Armenian, the second phase of the Armenian genocide, and this was the time when they started to deport the Armenian intellectuals. The significance of this is because it's the first genocide of the 21st century, and it was ignored by the outside world, and to the point that later Hitler realized this and said, the world ignored this, I can do it to the Jews. So history is important to look at. Also, I think we aren't aware that this was an ancient people of 3,000 years in this area, which Turkey and then Armenia is east in between Russia. They were also Armenia was also the first country to establish Christianity in 300 A.D.
Okay, now,
and it was the last attempt, I believe, to revive the Ottoman Empire by a Muslim fatwa to annihilate the Armenians, Greeks, and Assyrians, the whole Christian population.
Mm-hmm.
So the other part is the personal part of it. And I'm 64, and my grandfather in 1895, that was another massacre during peaceful time.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw his parents killed, and I believe this damaged the psychic and passed down to his children and how he treated his grandchildren as well.
Now, when we started talking about genocide, you said just the expulsion of the intellectuals, but there was much more to it than that, wasn't there?
Yes, and then in 1915, that started with the intellectuals, and then my cousin, who is a World War II vet, lives in Columbus. His father, Vern Capellian, was marched to Syria. So about 1 million were marched. It began the march to Syria, and they were wiped out. There was, as a result, of course, they just swept across the whole, all the villages. All the men were taken out, because at this time before that, guns had been taken. So, of course, it was there's disease and then famine, and many had to be, because this was during World War One. So many of the Armenians, hundreds of thousands, they figured 200,000 about, probably joined the Russian army or fled to Russia. Some of the women were kidnapped as slaves and put in harems. So it was an outright planned annihilation of the Armenian
to wipe out the Armenians
population.
Okay, and as many people, this is still 100 years later. The feelings are so strong on both sides still, and like I said, when President Obama refused to use the word genocide, it just started triggering all types of things again.
The point is that the Turkish government, the Turkish country as a whole, has not acknowledged it and has ignored it, or maybe even denied it to the point of denying it. And I must say, there are some Turkish people who have spoken out about it, and that's the painful part, and that's why there's just people over at least the last 50 years, there's been many documentations of personal events, so that is marked down in history, of the personal experiences of many of these people taken out of their towns. I mean, it's just shocking. You know, one day you're living your normal life with your neighbors, and then in one day, then all the men are taken out, and it starts. And you have to run for your life.
Yeah, I've been in other places in Serbia and in Bosnia where when they came into Srebrenica and all the men were taken, and something like 6,000 men and boys were never came back, were killed.
Yes.
They found some of the bodies, but I think there's several thousand still missing. So, yeah, this was a concerted attempt by the Turks, according to the according to you and the Armenians, to wipe out the Armenians, take them out of that whole area.
And today, at the bridge, on the Sundial Bridge, there's going to be a drumming circle to remember Darfur no more.
Uh-huh.
So we will be acknowledging, of course, the Armenians just for a minute or two. But the point is that, again, we had the Sudanese, and now the Syrians are being, displaced from their own country.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a total mess over there, huh?
Yeah, it's just, and I think, too, the personal impact that goes on for years. I mean, even the Jewish people will tell you over what happened when, as what the results of being in the camps.
Yeah,
what
the Holocaust.
It does to families and
sure.
How it passes down. And I think it's just important for all of us to remember because of the tragedy of such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That people who are just living their normal lives, one day they're just
taken.
Dispersed. Yeah.
And moved to camps, killed, whatever.
Right.
Okay, now you say there's going to be a drumming circle at the Sundial today?
Yeah, 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock today. So this is going down, and what it is remembering those who have died in Holocaust and genocide.
Yeah.
All right. Janice Porter-Collier has been with us and talking to us about that. And
okay.
Janice, thank you so much for calling. You know, sometimes it doesn't touch you. But it does. It touches all of us when something like this happens. And whether you're Armenian or Turk or whatever, it touches us. It touches us in Darfur, and it touches us in what's happened in Syria and Libya and all these places because, it has it's like a rock that's thrown into the water, a large rock, that the ripples continue out. And so we have to be aware of these things. So thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Bye. I mean, Samantha, you saw over there, and you've seen other places in the world. When people, we don't think about it, but we think about the slaughter of Christians being, because they're Christians, being thrown over the side of a boat, because they're being, the people are being forced out of these other countries, Yemen, Syria, and all these, and now it's this massive influx of refugees heading for Europe, heading for Italy in this. And because they're Christian, they're thrown overboard and drowned. Or thousands of Christians are being killed. What's going on right now? Nothing seems to be being done about that. And then you go back to the Armenian genocide, and it's just a You know, there's it seems like the world has taken a look and said that certain lives aren't worth anything. I don't know. Do you you're a nice person of strong religious beliefs.
Yeah, you know, it's
You do have strong religious beliefs. Is there anywhere in your religion that says to kill somebody that because they are not of your religion?
No. I mean,
or to stone them?
You know, Old Testament maybe, but
that's old. And that's right. There's a reason it's called Old Testament, way before Jesus Christ.
No, it says honestly to go into all the world and make disciples. It doesn't say anything about when you do that you're supposed to kill them.
Kill the ones that don't want to be.
Yeah.
I just find this so intriguing that people and here we are, the man that's supposed to be the most powerful man on earth, Mr. Obama, isn't making strong stands, isn't saying things. You know, when ISIS started slaughtering Christians, should have, you know, all of a sudden there's 12 B-52 strikes in the whole area. I don't know. Okay, hey, look, though, we are going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back after these messages. Carl on the bot, KCNR 1460. The time is 7:31 on today, the 24th of April, Friday. 53 degrees out there. It's going to be go up to 69 and a good chance of rain tonight. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
3, 2, 1.
It's showtime.
Ladies, prepare to excite your senses. The world famous Hunks the Show Ladies Night Out is coming.
Are you ready for this?
Friday, May 15th at 7:30 inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center.
Tickets are just
$10.
$10!
The number one name in entertainment for women, direct from the Las Vegas Strip. Live in person for one night only.
These chiseled hunks will be taking the stage for a night of fun and fantasy.
Friday, May 15th at Wind River Resort and Casino. Doors open at 6:30. Show starts at 7:30. The world famous men of Hunks the Show will make your fantasies a reality
and leave you breathless.
Girls make plans to attend the biggest ladies night and see why Hunks the Show is the number one male review in the world.
Ladies, this will be a sellout event, so get your tickets today.
For details, log on to windriver.com.
Must be 21 to attend.
It's better on the river.
Reading Rodeo Week is quickly approaching, and the festivities start with the biggest little stake feed under the stars, happening May 9th, 2015. Gates open at 5:30 to dinner, dancing, and live entertainment by the Billies. Tickets are available now for the stake feed and the Reading Rodeo. Grab them at readingrodeo.com or stop in to the rodeo box office.
Adamson's Peak Performance is our gym of choice. There is nothing better than to feel in shape, and that can make you feel on top of the world. Adamson's Peak Performance. No gimmicks, no games, no hypes. Make workouts fun at Adamson's Peak Performance, located at 3050 C Street. Give them a call at 221-8006. That's Adamson's Peak Performance.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment getting ready for the media trail ride today with the Reading Rodeo. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, right across the street from Sierra Gibbs. I tell you what, if you're looking for jewelry of any kind, estate jewelry, brooches, necklaces, tennis bracelets. Well, I don't know why they call them tennis bracelets. Anyway, because they have diamonds on them. They don't have, like, tennis balls. Unless you can get bracelets with diamonds that big.
I'll Google it for you if
Google
you want.
It. Well, thank you. No, it's just too much today. It's Friday. The only thing I'm trying to do is survive through today so I can get going. All right. Was that the wrong thing to say? No, it's Friday. It's a day that we should be happy. Only two more working days till Monday, right? Okay. I'm looking at beauty right now. And I'll explain this in a second. 2225 Hilltop Drive. I tell you what, Leonard has got great deals going on there. Go on in there and talk to this man. It may not say there's a deal. It doesn't say there's a sale, but trust me. There's a sale going on at Four Winds Jewelry. Open Monday through Friday from 9:30 to 4. Right across the street from Sierra Gibbs. Four Winds Jewelry. Great guy. Also donated the diamond for the blood drive the other day. The diamond necklace, which was absolutely beautiful. Okay. I'm here with Gavin Spencer and our friends from Shasta High School. Because we're getting ready to see Disney's Beauty and the Beast. And you brought them all.
Well, there's a few more in the cast, but yeah, we have four of them.
Well, I tell you what. Tell us about the musical here.
Well, this is my first repeated musical at Shasta High. I've been there 13 years, and we did Beauty and the Beast 10 years ago. And
hopefully with none of you all.
Okay, well, just making sure. Yeah, no.
Yeah. Oh, what was my favorite grade? I spent my favorite 4 years in sixth grade.
So,
all
right. So anyway, we're bringing it back to life, and I guess we'll call it the Shasta Revival of Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, okay. Now, there's a lot of pressure on the cast here because the first one you told me one time was the best thing you'd ever done. So there's probably a lot of pressure on these guys.
That might be true, but that was a long time ago.
Okay. Now, the story itself, of course, I think is well known. But how's it different in the staging of it than, say, you know, movies or this?
Well, the cartoon version, I mean, definitely is very cartoon-like. But the stage version is very elegant. You would not know that if you went in to see Beauty and the Beast and you're expecting a cartoon, you're going to be very surprised when you walk in the show. When you get into the castle, it's very dark.
This is recommended for children 5 and up.
Absolutely.
So it's not like little kids should come in here, right?
Well, little kids. Oh, I would bring little kids. Heck yes. No, it's
5 and up, right?
Yeah. Don't bring babies. We don't want crying.
Okay, I see what you mean. Okay. Yeah, we know. I had the same rules in my house. It was tough on the grandkids for a while, but hey, I just let them sit outside with the dog.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's we're really excited. We have a great cast, a very good singing cast. The staging is fantastic. We got some really.
You guys put on some good work over there. Let me tell you. I don't go to many plays. Just because I just don't, you know. But I do go to yours because yours are really good.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
We've got some special effects that I'm not giving anything up, but we've got some amazing special effects.
How about the makeup?
Oh, it's amazing.
You've done a wonderful job on the makeup on the beast you brought here today. I mean, my gosh, it's scary.
Yeah, I know.
<That's> fantastic. You want to introduce your cast right here?
All right. Well, we've got Nick Meyer here. He is the beast. Introduce yourself, Nick.
Hey, I'm Nick Meyer, and I am the Beast.
You know, Nick, you've been in here several times before because you're in the Madrigals and all this, and I mean, it's what got you into this? I mean, because this is something obviously you like to do.
When I was a little kid, I thought that singing was just fun hobby kind of thing, but then when I found out that my elementary school did plays and stuff, I started getting into it, and I started getting into choir a lot more, and then the Madrigals came to Sequoia way back in the day when I was in the sixth grade, and I was like, I have to do this.
Don't say way back in the day. What do you mean, what, 2010? What?
For us, it's way back in the day.
Okay, now, what else do you do there at Shasta High School? Is this your big thing here, or do you...
It's a big part of my life, but... I also play football for Shasta, so when I'm not playing football, I'm focusing on my music.
Okay, and the reason I'm saying this is this is a big lad here. What are you, about 6'3"?
6'4".
Yeah. And I can see where it's kind of like, you don't want to have, for the beast, somebody that's 5'2". I mean,
right.
I mean, no matter how good an actor they are, it's still kind of like when beauty towers over them, it's not a bit, you know.
But
yeah, that doesn't work
so,
well.
So you've got, I mean, you've got a future in this. Nick does. Okay, and then we have Beauty. Lean
Hi,
in here.
I'm Julia Cushman. I'm playing Beauty.
Okay, and so Julia, how long? What grade are you in?
I'm a sophomore.
A sophomore, and how long have you done this? How long have you been in this?
Well, I started off when I was really young because my dad's a choir teacher as well. So he, you know, I've grown up in choir and done other things, but I've never gotten a lead in anything before.
Okay. Yeah. Is it tough being the lead?
A little bit, but it's worth it. It's a lot of hard work. You know, I have to stay focused, and it means a lot to me. So I've been working really hard and doing research all the time.
Do your grades suffer?
Yeah. Well, no, I have good grades. I have good grades, but it's hard to focus.
Well, you know what I have found is that when you start talking to young people like you all, is that your grades are good because you all are, I mean, you know, the ones that are in, that are into arts for the most part are focused on things, and they can make good grades. And this is just another part there. So, but it is, it's harder though, right? When you've got the whole show on your shoulders.
Definitely. Like we go from, you know, late practices, and then I have a test the next day, and, you know, 30 minutes of studying is all I can get in, you know, so.
So you're just naturally smart.
I guess.
So Julia is doing an awesome job, and she is just a sophomore at the high school. So she's taking on a big role at a young age and doing amazing.
All right. Well, we have somebody else here, and this, and you've got it in your blood too, don't you?
Yeah, my name's Hayden Spencer, and I'm playing Gaston in Beauty and the Beast.
Okay, Gaston is the was the Beauty's boyfriend, right? Well, or no, or is he the
Gaston's got the hots for Belle?
Oh, okay.
Or Beauty, but she doesn't really like him in return, so he turns evil eventually.
There you go. Okay, so how do you like playing? How do you get into that part? Being rejected by your true love.
You know, you just gotta get used to it. I mean, I have to get used to getting slapped in the face.
Until you're about 20, night, 22, so. 23, maybe up to your 30s, you know, or 40s, 50s. Okay.
That's just how it is, man.
Okay, now what year are you at school?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior. Yeah. Well, obviously, your dad's the man here when it comes to all these plays. Any pressure on you to be involved in these?
I would actually probably not, honestly, like. I just really enjoy singing and, like, in front of a lot of people, and making people laugh is really fun, too.
Okay.
So.
So, is that, how are your grades? Are they good?
Yeah, yeah.
I can imagine all of them. Do you have to have a certain grade point to be able to participate in this?
Like athletics? Not officially.
Like athletics?
No, it's not official. But if I've got a kid who's not doing well, we won't, cast them.
Okay. Just say you need to spend more time. Okay, now we're. Now, you know, last but not least, because here, I mean, she's ready to rock here. So,
Mrs. Potts.
Mrs. Oh, yeah. So, what's your name, honey?
Mandy Cervantes.
Mandy
Cervantes. Mrs. Potts.
And you're playing Mrs. Potts. Now, Mandy is on her way next year to BYU, Hawaii.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? I know where that's at. I lived in Hawaii for 3 years. So, yeah. And I was kidding about the education. It's just when you're there, there's just. It's so beautiful.
Oh, no, you got to get ready. I know. I have to prepare myself not to get distracted.
There you go. So, you know, you have to, you know, get a good tan right now before you, you know, when, by the time you get over there. You don't want to have to spend too much time out there doing a little extra swimming, you know, go to the beach some more. You know, they have classes out on the beach sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Well, so what's the hard part about playing Mrs. Potts? Because Mrs. Potts is, in the movie, of course, is not real. So what about you?
Well, she is actually, since she's supposed to be an inanimate object come to life, it's harder to have both a humanly characteristic, but yet still have the characteristic of a teapot, you know? So that's pretty difficult, but I think it's going pretty great.
I think it is, because anything you guys do are good is good. I tell you what, Gavin, you've got a lot to be proud of with all these. Now, how do people get there? When's it going to start?
Okay, the show opens next Thursday, so April 30th. Tickets are on sale at the Cascade Theater box office. The show is not at the Cascade Theater, but we are using their box office. You can get tickets at cascadetheater.org. That's Cascade Theater with an R-E, .org. Tickets are selling fast. just so you know.
Well, okay, April 30th through May 2nd and May 7th through May 9th. How many performances?
We're doing seven performances. Seven performances. We're going Thursday, Friday, Saturday the first week, but we're doing a matinee on that first Saturday, so I think that's May 2nd.
Okay.
And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday the next week.
And I'll be giving away some tickets here later on. I've got some tickets for Disney's Beauty and the Beast at Shasta High School at the David Marr Theater, and it's going to be great. Now, do you have one song that I can... we can go out on?
Let's go with a song that everybody knows. Let's do Belle's opening song. All the little girls would love this.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of those listening. Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, just get in there. Get in close.
Okay. Little town, it's a quiet village. Every day, like the one before. Little town, full of little people waking up to say...
bonjour.
Bonjour.
Yeah, and then it goes into the whole chorus thing.
Okay, all right. Okay. Hey, you know what? It's going to be great. I know. Because, Gavin, you and your people here, your troupe, have put on nothing but great shows since I've lived here for 8 years.
Well, thanks, Carl.
So, you know what? People don't miss this, and we're going to be giving away some tickets here later on. All right? Thanks a lot. We'll be right back after these messages with Safari Club International. They've got a big thing going on, too, to raise money for helping wounded veterans. We'll be right back after these messages.
Peter Pan live at the Cascade Theatre. Join Peter, Wendy, Michael and John in the high-flying, timeless Broadway musical that will whisk you away to a place where dreams are born and no one ever grows up. Perfect family show for the child in all of us. Peter Pan will have you soaring high on a wild adventure to Neverland. Come fly with us to the Cascade Theatre and experience this classic tale, Peter Pan. Purchase tickets now at 243-8877 or online at cascadetheatre.org.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
243-8400. Preferred Carpet Care.
Oh no, dirty carpets! So I call Preferred Carpet Care. You know they've been voted the best of the North State, and now my carpets look like new. Preferred Carpet Care. Clean, efficient, and professional. I love the way my carpets look. Remember the number.
243-8400. Preferred Carpet Care.
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave service women. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit careeronestop.org.
This is Carl on the Bot, and there's only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the vitamin shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target center next to the vitamin shop.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Linda Bott. I tell you what, girls just always want to have fun. And us guys, we're just very serious. You know, guys do everything. The time is 7:49 in the morning, 53 degrees out there. We're going to go up to 69 today. Maybe a big chance for rain tonight. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, phone lines here are 605-4567. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. You know, speaking of girls want to have fun, Linda had a phone, had some photos taken. And if you have not seen this photo of Linda, and it's been on Facebook, please let me know. I might even just put it on our website here. Linda had a mohawk in this evening gown and a mohawk, and was, you know, had her arm up like, you know, woman power. Would you, okay, Savannah.
You know, while she was talking to me about this picture and telling me about the photographer, I was like, I hope he took a picture of her with her hair spiked. And then when I saw it, I was so happy.
Looks a little bit like Cindy. People said Cindy Lauper, but I don't, yeah. You know, I don't think she looks like Cindy Lauper, but it's that type of attitude, though.
I love
it. What a great photo. Oh, yeah, it is. And if you need to see, if people want to see the photo, just let me know, and we'll make sure it's out there someplace. We're here today with Sheila McLeod.
Good morning.
Safari Club International.
You bet.
All right. Now, why am I talking about Safari Club International? Except it's a group that I believe in and the things you do. And some people think, oh, I don't go to Africa and go to safaris. That's got nothing to do. Well, it really has nothing to do with that from
really,
right here in Reading.
It really doesn't. This is about the right. First of all, we're first for hunters and conservation. That is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And then after that, 70% of our money that comes from our bank, which will be May 2nd at Wind River Casino, stays here in the community. And this year we've been able to help several veterans on pheasant hunts. And beyond that, we help young people. we're going to be taking out a young man fishing out to Shasta Lake. And he has cancer, and we've got some volunteers, and we took him down to Sportsman's Warehouse, and we dutied him up with a brand new fishing pole and a lot of other gear, and he was as happy as can be and made his dad take him out fishing 2 days later.
Is that right?
It was a wonderful time.
Well, you know, the thing about our Safari Club is the you do a lot of these things.
Yes.
And you have, you know, with the wounded veterans.
Yes.
The proceeds from this banquet. And that's what we're talking about, my friends. There's a banquet going to be a week from this Saturday.
Yes.
On May 2nd at Wind River. It's going to start at 5 p.m. Dinner, auctions, and drawings.
Yes.
Now, this is absolutely, and I've been to every, if there's been a banquet in this town, Linda and I have been to it. And we've been to them several times. Not just once, but several times. And it's no secret I like to shoot and hunt and when I go to these places, they have guns. Always have guns to be raffled, guns, you know, for auctions and all. But frankly, you know, some of them are. I mean, you know, okay, it's still to raise money, and we can't ever forget that it's for good causes. But trust me, the guns and the prizes at the Safari Club International Banquet are just outstanding. I mean, you can't beat these. I mean, you're talking about bolt actions, Browning's A-bolts, and Ruger's LCRs, and the 357s, Browning A-bolts, and .30-06, Henry Big Boy, 44 Magnum. These are like $700.
Which is called bang for your buck.
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, you're seeing things here that you would not get any place else.
Yeah.
And if you want to have a shot at that,
yes,
the only way you're going to do that is come to the Reading Regional Chapter 21st Annual Fundraising Banquet for Safari Club International Reading. It's going to be next Saturday. It starts at 5, and trust me, I'm the MC. And we will just make it as much fun as we possibly can. We got a great, we have a great auctioneer.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. And see the receptions. You have games. You have silent auction. 7 to 8 p.m. dinner followed by the live auction and drawings. Let me tell you, there's so much stuff being given and won that day. It plan on being there to probably like 9.
And ladies, we are waiting for you to come because we have a whole table of nothing but ladies' drawings and a gun for the ladies. We have lots of carry purses, and one of the auctions items will be a carry purse, a pistol, and class lessons for carry.
Okay, a concealed carry class.
Hunting
equipment, art. A lot of, you know, you have art and photos and paintings out there. You know, decor. I mean, you can, things you put into your room here, you know. So, you know, like that pheasant or the duck that's out there that I'm going to put up
so
Savannah can look at it all the time. Okay, I don't know.
And there will be a special drawing for youth 12 to 17. You only have to be there and have a ticket. You don't have to purchase anything, and there will be a drawing for a rifle and a shotgun.
A general draw, you have a Model 11 Hog Hunter in 308 caliber, probably the closest I'll ever get to a hog hunt, even though that I've been promised those. Plus, here's a 48, not by you.
It's an inside joke.
It's an inside joke. 48 gun safe with a gun in it.
Yes.
All these things. You can't beat this. Now, and here's the thing. The tickets are on sale. A dinner ticket is $60 per person or $90 per couple. I mean, come on. This is a great deal. Mm-hmm. And then, or you can buy as a sponsor package, which for $350, which includes two dinner tickets, $400 drawing tickets, and a 1 in 5 sponsor gun tickets.
Yes, at the end of,
and it's only 60
the,
of
end
those.
Of the banquet, every person who bought a sponsor package or a dinner table, that would be you,
okay.
has an opportunity for every 5 people who do that, one gun will be drawn.
There you go. So when you think about that, you got a shot at it. Last year, okay, I'll just tell her, but last year, Linda won 3 guns. That's right. She won 3 guns out of this. So, I mean, you don't think I was happy rolling around on the floor? Going, yeah. Someday maybe she'll let me hold one of them. Okay. Now, how do we get tickets here?
You can call. You can go to Trophy West Insurance on East Cypress, or you can call Scott Borg at 221-4650. Or you can call Larry McLeod at 474-5075. I would also like everyone out there who's a senior in high school in the area that the Reading Safari Club scholarship program is still available, a $1,000 scholarship. And we only ask that you have taken a hunter safety course, be intending for environmental sciences, fish and game, forestry, anything related to those areas. And get it in, and it's still available.
You know, that's right. You know, these are things that, you know, we talk about. This isn't to make money to send somebody to Africa. This is money that's staying in town here. Wounded veterans, get them out on a hunt, and you have them out there. And it's, it's very much appreciated, again, for helping veterans. And then with this kids with special needs, mm-hmm. either hunting or fishing, and it's, you know, that's really good for them. And, again, picked up by y'all. Now, the other thing you didn't mention is the food that you buy for the Good News Rescue Mission.
Yes.
For Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Yes, for Thanksgiving,
the turkey,
yes.
Or for
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, turkeys yes. and stuff like that to
yes.
help feed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the scholarship
mm-hmm.
goes back into helping. Plus, Safari Club International and also fights for the rights of hunters. There's so many things trying to do, so many anti-hunters out there, but you all fight for the rights of hunters.
Yes. They're the only organization out there with on-staff lawyers who are constantly opposing or trying to stand up for your rights in government and out there against those who simply don't want you to have fun anymore.
Well, you know, it's not politically correct. You know, I saw an American Hunter in a magazine just last night. They said, "Oh, I don't think we should use the word kill when we're hunting. We don't kill, we harvest." And I'm thinking, no, well, okay, yeah, we harvest, but we also kill. I mean, at the end of it, I mean, people are saying, "Oh, I don't see how we can talk in front of people and say use the word kill," and I'm. You know, because that means that killing means we're murderers. And I'm thinking after 30 years in the Marine Corps and 4 combat tours, that does it really? You know, I mean, it's you know, so I just find it interesting how we've come to that point where when you take an animal, you can't be any more healthy than taking an animal in the wild, which is free roaming. And has nothing in them, no steroids or anything.
Yeah.
And then you take it, and then that's your meat. I mean, there's a lot of people going for that. I mean, and it's just a wonderful way to have your protein in this is that way.
Yeah, right? I have 700 pounds of non-steroidal buffalo in my freezer.
And do I get one little packet.
You did.
I do. One little packet of hamburger. And you got six. You got 700 pounds. I get 6 ounces of hamburger. Won't even make a big hamburger. I can't believe you just rubbed it in my face again. Okay. I bet you went out for a pig hunt, too.
No.
We have to run here. Now, again, we want to get you. You want to have tickets for this. Larry McLeod, 474-5075, or Scott Board, 221-4650. You're going to have a great time. Go on out there and get some tickets or give me a call. All right, we'll be right back after this is after these messages. Carl Lindebach, KCNR, 1460.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Raids are being conducted in Italy today. An Italian prosecutor says some of the 18 Islamic extremists being sought are suspected in a bomb attack that killed more than 100 people in a Pakistani market. Meanwhile, the Vatican is downplaying the significance of an alleged planned attack against it, saying the threat dates from 2010 and therefore, they say, is not of particular concern today. Comcast won't be merging with Time Warner Cable after all. After getting pushback from regulators, Comcast is dropping its $45 billion bid. Had it gone through, it would have created a massive TV and broadband company. Also at SRNNews.com, President Obama has ordered a review of U.S. drone strikes in Pakistan that inadvertently killed two hostages, one an American, the other an Italian, being held by Al-Qaeda. Colonel Steve Warren, a Pentagon spokesman, says while intelligence is not an exact science, the U.S. is good at it.
We have generally great confidence in the ability of our intelligence personnel to gather the information that we need.
One of the hostages was 73-year-old Warren Weinstein of Rockville, Maryland. This neighbor says Weinstein's wife maintained a hopeful attitude during his captivity.
She kept him very much alive to us, and we're just heartbroken.
Weinstein was kidnapped in 2011 in Pakistan, where he did contract work with the U.S. Agency for International Development. Testimony is continuing for a third day in a court hearing to determine whether the man who shot President Reagan should be allowed to live full-time outside a mental hospital. A federal judge in Washington is hearing arguments about whether John Hinckley Jr. should be allowed to live at his mother's home in Virginia, and if so, under what conditions. This is SRN News.
We gave Tom 12 seconds to give 6 reasons why he opened a Mathnasium Learning Center franchise.
Okay. Great income potential. Doing good for kids. Doing what I love. Making math make sense to kids. 500 centers open already. 1 every 3 days. Mathnasium taught me the business. Helps me. Supports me.
Time's up. Pretty good. For franchise information, visit Mathnasium.com or take the first step right now. Call 855-361-MATH. That's 855-361-6284.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was in college, and I used my credit cards as a source of income, and I got into a lot of debt.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
The customer service at Trinity is excellent. They take all of your bills and put them all together. It's one single easy payment.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
Google paid its billionaire executive chairman Eric Schmidt nearly $109 million last year while the company's stock was slumping.
Most of the compensation consisted of stock valued at $100 million. It was the largest stock package that Schmidt received since 2011 when Google awarded him a bundle valued at $94 million at the time he relinquished the CEO's job to company co-founder Larry Page. Google's stock declined by 5% last year.
SRN's Jeremy House reports that Schmidt also received a $1.25 million salary, a $6 million bonus, and perks valued at nearly $1 million. The protests are growing louder in Baltimore, where questions remain unanswered about the police custody death of Freddie Gray. Demonstrators took to the streets again last night and scuffled with police. Bluebell Creameries says it will close all 3 of its creameries in Texas, Oklahoma, and Alabama for intensive cleaning after Listeria. This is SRN News. In Armenia today, world leaders attended ceremonies commemorating the massacre 100 years ago of 1.5 million Armenians by Ottoman Turks. The killings are viewed by historians as genocide. However, modern-day Turkey, the successor to the Ottoman Empire, vehemently rejects that charge. PepsiCo says it's dropping aspartame from Diet Pepsi in response to customer feedback and replacing it with sucralose, another artificial sweetener commonly known as Splenda. The decision to swap sweeteners comes as Americans keep turning away from popular diet soft drinks. Coca-Cola said this week that sales volume for Diet Coke fell 5% in North America in the first quarter. The new Diet Pepsi hits shelves this August. More details at srnnews.com. From Washington, I'm Greg Clugston.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's getting ready for the trail ride today. The media is taking a trail ride in Reading. The Reading Rodeo Association is putting on at the Corum Ranch. Should be a lot of fun. Includes a barbecue there from Smoked at the gorgeous Corum Ranch. Anyway, good morning. Welcome back. 8:06 in the morning, and our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Savannah, good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you today?
It's a great day.
It's always a great day. Is there every day a great day with you there?
No, that's not possible. But today is a great day.
Today is a great day. What's the weather look like on this great day? I'm going to ask you later on what that means. Okay,
we're going to get plenty of rain this weekend, I have a feeling. Today it's going to get up to a high of 69, but currently it is 55, and we're going to have a 60% chance of rain by about 11 p.m. tonight with a low of 51. Saturday is going to be a high of 70 with a 40% chance of rain, and Saturday night's going to be a low of 50 degrees, and Sunday's going to be at a high of 81, so it's going to get warm.
So hopefully we'll get some rain. How apropos with our guest today. But the weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. The hotter it gets, it's cooler it is. Locally owned and operates, a veteran-owned business with senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by Mighty Fine, a store right down there on 299 and Deschutes Road in beautiful Bella Vista. Over 1,000 drinks there, including 250 different types of beers, 350 liquor and wine choices. I mean, you can't beat that. Full deli, butcher shop, locally owned and operated. Now, this is a big thing. Locally owned and operated by father and son. And it's your one-stop shop on the way to the lake this Saturday and Sunday. Great, great, great deals going on there. Hot wings, 12 for under $5. Tri-tip ribs, they have it all. Everyday breakfast specials. All of this at Mighty Fine Foods, the store there. You know what? If you've ever been in there, it's just absolutely clean. Everybody there is really, really friendly. Linda stopped in there the other day, and I tell you, there's something for everybody in the store. Again, 299 in Deschutes Road, locally owned, locally operated, not one of those big chain stores. I think you have it. Okay, Savannah, tell me why today is such a great day.
Why today is such a great day?
Yeah, because, you know, you said, well, that's a great day. You know, and I'm used to hearing this from you because you are a very, very, you're always optimistic and upbeat.
I mean, why would today be a bad day? I woke up, everything's good, have great housemates, I have a good job to go to, I get this weekend to enjoy myself, probably go rock climbing if it doesn't rain too hard.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay. So why not be happy is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, especially I like the spot about the job. I know you always have to throw that in there when I'm around.
Exactly,
okay.
Yes.
My birthday's coming up, by the way. I'll let you know when. Okay. All right. Hey, look, you know, we're talking about drought, and it's on everywhere. And everything we've been talking about this week has been drought and all the things that go along with it. And we are really fortunate to have Dr. Jay Lund here, director of the Center for Watershed Sciences, and professor of civil environmental engineering at the University of California, Davis. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
You know, this is not the first time you've been with us on the show.
Well, I get talked to with
from time to time.
I think the last time it was 10 things that would happen with drought. And I remember because it was a couple of things you said. I mean, it was just to me was I went, oh. And this was what? I don't know. This was a year ago or something. And I'll be darned if the things you were talking about, I think, are going to happen. And one of the things you said was there's going to be species that disappear because it's going to become, you know, what's more important, people or animals?
Well, we're going to have some of those species are going to disappear regardless of what we do. Uh-huh. But we will have a bunch of other things that will happen as well. There'll be some changes in the way we use water in urban areas and changes in how we use water for agriculture. California has always been a very dynamic place. We always have been changing the way we use water, and droughts are a good reminder of how dry a place California can be, just naturally.
Well, now, you wrote an article called Mega Drought.
Yeah, we did a paper a few years ago, actually, before this drought, where we did some computer simulations of what would happen if California had a drought that basically had half the stream flow that we've seen in the historical record for 100 years.
And the results of that then are we getting close to that now?
No, we're a long way from that now.
Okay. I mean, I'm just because everybody, so, you know, I guess maybe part of it is we're talking about drought and how bad it is, and there's, you know, you see cities without, or you see these small towns without any water, and everybody's cutting back 50%, or, you know, gosh, you know, farms are cut back, you know, we want to kill all your yards, we don't want to ever wash your car again. Are we there yet?
Oh, no, I don't think we're nearly there yet. The drought could become much, much worse. When we look at these very long droughts, what mostly is hurt is agriculture and the environment. Cities have an amazing ability, in California at least, to reduce their water use. We use about half of our water use is outdoors, and if you compare our water use in California to cities elsewhere in the country where they have rain in the summertime, we have maybe twice as much water use than other places. So if we have to, we can conserve a lot of water in an urban area pretty fast. And it has some impact on the urban economy, but not nearly as much as it does in agriculture.
Well, that's what that's what I'm seeing is that they say 80% of the water goes to the agriculture.
80% of the human water use, yes. It's about 50% of total water use.
Okay, 50% of total water use goes to agriculture, and then I think the next line we usually say, and it's only 2.5% of the GDP of California. And, you know, so they're using, you know, I don't know how you could tie, I guess you could tie those two together by saying, you know, we're getting all this water, but we're not getting anything back. But I don't think that's true.
Well, certainly if you live in a rural area, if you're one of the more rural counties, agriculture is really quite important. We have a very, you know, it's a major industry in California. It's not the major industry, but it's very important.
Well, will we be seeing things like with, we're not there yet, and it's really good to hear you say this because this is, you know, this is what you do in your studies, is that we're not there where people should be panicking at all. We should start doing something.
Oh, yeah, and I think what the governor's laid out is, make sure that everybody recognizes that we're in a drought and California can be a dry place. The kind of drought we've seen so far is about the kind of drought you'd expect to see about once in a generation, maybe twice in a generation.
Okay. When he's talking about, you know, now I'm starting to see editorials from different places in the state about the twin tunnels. And he has said that he's not going to be able to meet the environmental benchmark. And though now people are saying, well, maybe we don't need these twin tunnels. What's your opinion of that?
If you do it right, those kind of tunnels can be very useful for maintaining water quality and reliability for the cities and the high-valued agriculture south and west of the Delta. San Francisco Bay Area gets about a third of its water from the Delta. So it's not just Southern California. It's quite a lot of California that depends on getting pretty good quality water reliably from the Delta.
Uh-huh. Okay, my guest is Dr. Jay Lund, who is the he is our water expert, if anybody is, in the that we've been talking to. He's a director of the Center for Watershed Sciences, professor of civil and environmental engineering from University of California, Davis. We're going to take a quick break, doctor, and we'll be right back after these messages. We have somebody on the line that wants to talk to you, has some questions, and then I've got a few more questions. And hopefully that things that we talk about, but one of the things you've said in the first our first segment here is that, yeah, we got a drought, but it's not something to, for people to immediately go out and start digging wells, because water's not going to go away. So we'll be right back. We'll be right back after these messages.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
Jim Gaffigan, live.
I've never eaten a hot pocket and then afterwards been funny.
Contagious Tour.
I was like, I'm going to die. I paid for that?
You've seen his comedy specials, Mr. Universe and Obsessed. Now see him live, July 21st, on stage at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
I was at this seafood restaurant, and this guy came over to our table.
You're not eating lobster. Is there a reason why you're not eating lobster?
I was like, I thought I'd order what I want.
A night of all new material.
Lobster tail. Is that the area near the butt?
Mm-hmm. That's what I want, a little turf and bug butt.
Jim Gaffigan in an all-ages show.
I'm looking around.
Do that, Victoria's Secret.
See what you ladies are buying.
Where's all the angels? Where's the open bar?
Reserve seats are on sale now. Available online at readingcivic.com, the box office, or by phone.
Me and my ladies undies.
Jim Gaffigan, July 21st, the Reading Civic Auditorium.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
This is Cliff Duell with your local Reading Safari Club chapter, and we are inviting you to our May 2nd banquet at Wind River Casino at 5 p.m. We're going to have live auction, drawing, games, lots of guns to be given away, and a 48-gun safe. Proceeds go to the veterans, and also a $1,000 high school scholarship will be awarded. For tickets, call Larry at 474-5075. You can also purchase your tickets at Trophy West Insurance or go to scireading.org. See you there.
I should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda just ran through here. It's 53 degrees out there. The time is 8:18 in the morning. 605-4567 is our phone number. We're here with Dr. Jay Lund, director of the Center for Watershed Sciences and professor of civil and environmental engineering at the University of California at Davis. And he wrote a few years ago, they had a paper on mega droughts in here. And could California survive a mega drought? And the I mean, we're going to talk about that, but we've got a caller on the line. Tim, good morning.
Morning. I appreciate the doctor telling us all we don't have to, you know, overwhelmingly panic. But I was wondering if he had a comment or if he brought up to date about the city of Reading's plan to do that colossal water slide and, you know, allocate our water that way.
Okay, Tim, I haven't mentioned that yet. I kind of mentioned it to him when I first spoke to him for like 10 seconds, and but I'll ask him about that. about
that. All right, appreciate it.
Okay, Tim, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Doctor, what Tim was talking about was the city of Reading, because of the drought, wanted to find a way to save water. And it's not the city of Reading. It's some people here that want to have project, refresh something. But they want to bring in a water slide and then challenge people on how to save water. And already people have started, and according to the people putting this on, have said, okay, I'm stopping watering my yard. Okay, I'm going to use 5,000 gallons less at Shasta Regional. We're going to do this. And they believe that they can save, we can save in the city of Reading millions of gallons of water. And by bringing it through a slip and slide to show the rest of the state in the country that, yes, we've got a water slide here, but we're using water that can be recycled. And this is what we're trying to do, is show people how water can be recycled and reused. It's kind of, as you can imagine, it's causing some consternation in our town. It just broke this week. And I.
Well, it's kind of a cute idea.
Yeah. But.
If you do that, it would be kind of an interesting demonstration to show how many people would have to conserve how much in order to get enough water to run a slip and slide.
Statewide
balance. That water that comes off the slip and slide, aside from just a little bit that will evaporate off of it, goes back into the river. So that's not really, from the state's perspective, that's not a huge use of water, although for the city of Reading, that's probably going to count against them in the governor's accounting.
Well, what they're planning on, it's like 16,000 gallons that they bring in, and they said they're thinking about getting it from another state that doesn't have a water problem and trucking it in and then recycling it. I mean, it's still early in the planning stages, but there's been a lot of comments. If nothing else, and I have to admit this, that when Rocky and his team brought this up, we've talked more about water and water conservation in the last 4 days probably than we have in the last 4 months. So, and it just worked out that you were coming on. Anyway,
Well, it sounds like a good excuse to talk about water conservation. Provided a teachable moment, as some of my colleagues would say.
Well, it could be a teachable moment. Your study that you did a couple years ago with your team out here on the asking about this, and one of the things is in the past 1,200 years, we've had two droughts lasting 120 to 200 years. Are we looking at something like that?
Probably not. I hope not. but that just lets you know that there have been times in history when California has been extraordinarily dry.
And so when you looked at this for the past 1,200 years, you all created a virtual 72-year-long drought with a stream flow of 50% of current average rates, with all years being dry, as seen in a drought record. And then you used that when you looked at this on things that would happen. And what did you find out of this?
Well, it was certainly bad, not good for California. It was very bad for agriculture and very bad for the environment. But we still had about 50% of the agriculture left, and we kept the highest value agriculture. So the most profitable crops tend to remain, and the least profitable crops tend to be dried up in order to provide water for the high value crops and for the cities. Frankly, the cities had a fair bit of water conservation, but the overall urban economy was still pretty prosperous.
Okay, when you say like 50% of the agriculture would stay, I know there's types of crops that are really the water hogs. I shouldn't say water hogs, but they really need a lot of water, and there's others that don't. But usually, like almonds use a lot of water. Yet they were the largest export crop we had in California last year.
82% of all the almonds in the world are grown in California. I find that to be an amazing statistic. It's a major export. So it helps balance all those things that we import, all those cars and trucks and computers that we are manufactured overseas and brought into California. We pay for some of that with the exporting almonds. So I think almonds are pretty good. Actually, in terms of dollars per drop, they're a pretty good value for water use in agriculture.
Oh, really? Okay, because that's ones I hear. People are complaining about that they're emptying out groundwater and all this on for the almond crops. But China is buying every almond we could possibly sell. And
China and India, Japan, a lot of folks. Uh-huh. Europe.
Well, so you think that would be one of the crops that would probably stay then?
Oh, I think it would be one of the last ones to go.
The
we make so much money off of it. I mean, the basically what we want to do out of, with water is we want to have prosperity and we want to keep the environment going. And if making money is your objective, then you want to grow some of the most profitable crops, even if they cost you a little bit more water per acre. You'll just grow fewer acres and make more money.
What about things like tomatoes and cotton?
Tomatoes are very profitable, and they take a fair bit of water. Cotton used to have a lot of cotton in California, but it's been going down very fast.
Mm-hmm.
Almost as probably faster than almonds have been growing. Cotton is becoming less and less of a crop in California.
So it's what about when we start talking about alfalfa? Alfalfa hay uses a lot of water.
It does. And probably the best use of the alfalfa, what keeps it going, is that we use a lot of it in the dairy industry, another fairly high-value industry. So during last year of the drought, we grew a lot less hay and a lot less alfalfa, but we still had enough going to keep the dairies going,
mm-hmm.
Plus we imported some.
Well, then that leads us to the other part when you just said it for dairies. Is dairy a big business in California still?
Yeah, in parts of California especially. It's we're the number one dairy state, really, although we're the biggest state in population, so we're the biggest in a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
But it's an important industry. It's probably going to not grow as fast as it did in the past, and there's probably a chance that it'll shrink a little bit.
Okay. You know, and when we talk dairy, you know, the other thing, too, is beef. And beef is water intensive, too. And, you know, the people talk about, you know, beef, alfalfa, and, you know, the amount of water it takes to grow, you know, to raise a steer so that to be used in the protein side. Do you see any changes in mm-hmm. that?
Well, we'll probably have less beef being grown in California over the long term as well, because we have to feed it with alfalfa and other crops mm-hmm. that require a lot of irrigation. Some of the beef is fed substantially with range-fed beef,
right?
And in the drought, that takes a hit pretty quick. We got really lucky last year that the price of cattle was very high, and so many farmers actually were able to sell their herds. You know, in the middle of the drought, they were able to sell their herds at a pretty high price. And they did okay. We'll have to see what this year brings. Fortunately, the herds will be pretty small starting off this year, so the additional damage will not be so high. But I'm sure the ranchers would rather had a wet year and be growing their herds again.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was out on one of the ranches, and he says, there's my girls over there, you know, $1,500 a piece.
Yeah.
And people wonder about the cost of beef, but everything, you know, with water. We got another caller on the line. Charles, good morning. Do you have a question for Dr. Lund? Hello, Charles, you're on. Do you have a question for Dr. Lund?
There's a new crop that, it's not exactly new, but it's gained a lot more influence on water use over the past few years, a very green crop. I'm wondering what he thinks the influence of that marijuana cultivation is going to have on this equation, and whether he thinks that the drought will influence future marijuana policy.
Okay. That's a good
question. That's a very water-intensive crop, too.
Yeah, hey, that was a good question, Charles. Thanks a lot. Dr. Lund, marijuana has become has risen over the last few years, and it's a water-intensive crop. I mean, what do you think about that?
I think it's an important crop in some parts of the state, is what I hear.
yeah, come on up sometime, and I'll show you.
So. Over at sort of the North Coast area. This year, I think that part of the state has had much less of a drought because we got such a good drenching there in December.
Uh-huh.
So in the last year and earlier years in the drought, some of the marijuana growers upstream have been using quite a lot of water. And of course, they're not regulated. They don't have formal water rights because they're not going to report that to the state. And so it is a problem in those small coastal streams.
Yeah, they dam them up.
And it's not just the water use. It's also the pesticides and rodenticides and fertilizer that also ends up in the stream. It's been killing off a lot of the salmon habitat in those streams. So it's really quite a problem.
For a number of reasons there, yeah.
For quite a number of reasons, but it is to some degree an economic base for some of those counties.
Yeah, and it's everything you said. I mean, we're getting the environment's in trouble from it. We had people on the other day from our national park here talking about one of the martins are dying out.
They're being killed off
because of rodenticides and all this. There's a lot of big problems with this. My guest is Dr. Jay Lund, who heads up the watershed and is a professor down at UC Davis and is an expert on all of this. Doctor, do you have a few more minutes left after a break? I'd like to talk to you about the types of, when we start talking about the model you use, but when we start talking about building more water reservoirs, like the Sykes Reservoir and other things, how will this help the problems we're having with water? And also what it looks like from your viewpoint for this year. Is there going to be, even though we're up a little bit, is it going to, are we looking at this for the next few years? So we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebaugh, KCNR, 1460.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
The 67th Annual Reading Rodeo is happening May 13th through the 16th, and they would like to take a moment to thank their sponsors for making Rodeo Week possible. Reading Bank of Commerce, the California Highway Patrol, Cottonwood Vet Clinic, Crown Motors, Foothill Distributing, Golden One Credit Union, Hood River Distributing, Jack in the Box, KIXC-TV, KRCR 7 News, MD Imaging, the McConnell Foundation, Mercy Medical Center, Omega Mortgage, Reading Distributing, Coors, Shasta.com, Shasta Regional Medical Center, Sierra Central Credit Union, Sierra Pacific Foundation, Sierra Pacific Industries, Sportsman's Warehouse, Tri-Counties Bank, Wells Fargo Bank, Wrangler, Justin Boots, and the radio station you're listening to. Thank you for investing in our community. Buy your tickets now at ReadingRodeo.com or the Reading Rodeo box office.
You spoke up and we listened. Turtle Bay Exploration Park now has extended hours. Turtle Bay is open Wednesday through Sunday until 5 p.m. most days throughout April. Use that extra hour to visit Sweet, a tasty journey. Admire the pieces on display in the West Coast Art Biennial. Visit your favorite animal friends in wildlife woods and so much more. For full list of hours, events, and programs, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me May 7th for Romance on the River at Elements Lounge inside Wind River Resort and Casino. Enjoy a special menu set just for this evening with Lady Bott and the Bluebirds. Joining me on stage in Elements Lounge will be Johnny Gonzalez on piano, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Veramontes on drums, and my special guest, Lou White. For reservations, call 243-3377. That's Lady Bott and the Bluebirds in the Elements Lounge from 7 to 9 p.m. See you there.
Justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boy.
draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune and we'll all meet back.
The local saloon. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. I'm into my cowboy days today. It's 8:34 in the morning, 53 degrees out there. It's going to maybe a little, we may be getting thunderstorms tonight. How about that? Weather always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Veteran owned business. Give them a call at 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Take a step back in time there. Great haircuts, great prices, discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's last stronghold. Right there at Cypress Square Barbershop. Our guest today is Dr. Jay Lund. He's the director of the Center for Watershed Sciences, professor of civil and environmental engineering at the University of California, Davis. He's been on our show before, and we're talking water. And he wrote, or he and his department put together, Could California Survive or Weather a Mega Drought, which has kind of like got my attention. And then, you know, Dr. Lund has been on before talking about water and water problems. So good morning. Welcome back. And thanks for being with us today, sir.
Hi, good morning.
I've got a couple people handing me questions here, too. But let me ask first about reservoirs. We're doing a lot of things talking about the Sykes Reservoir and building ways of holding water. What do you think about that?
Well, generally, we've done pretty well by building reservoirs in California. But the hard part is, once you've built quite a lot of reservoir space, then you have problems filling it. Sort of like buying a bigger refrigerator without bringing extra food into the house.
Uh-huh.
You still have the same amount of food, but you do have more room for leftovers. But you really have to increase the water supply as well as the storage supply, if you will.
Well, I think the argument to that is that when it does rain, then we'll be able to hold water, and that we'll have more water for when we have droughts and everything. Is that does that argument hold water?
It does. It does at least a little bit. It does help you hold some water and store it. But we've already built reservoirs at most of the inexpensive locations.
Mm-hmm.
And so the places that we're looking at to build reservoirs are pretty expensive, and they deliver some water, some substantial amounts of water, but it's not in the same. It's not as favorable as it used to be. When we built Shasta, it was the first big reservoir on the river.
Uh-huh.
We got a lot of water out of that, and it was at a pretty good place where it was relatively inexpensive to build. The places that we're looking at to build now are more expensive, and they deliver a little bit less water.
Okay, then we're talking about like Sykes Reservoir. That thing's been in
Sykes or Raising Shasta. All of the new projects are. Their sort of benefit-cost ratio is not as high as it was when we built the original ones because we built the best ones first.
Well, that makes sense. You know, I've got people in the chat room. I got people running in, handing me notes to ask you questions here. According to National Geographic, there are 15 times the number of trees in California than there were 150 years ago. Should there be a thinning of our forests and cutting back our brush and trimming the trees and shrubs in our yard to kind of help conserve water?
That's a really interesting question. That's come up several times in the last year or so, that we have a lot denser forests in most of the Sierras than we did originally back before Western settlement.
Uh-huh.
And the additional amount of water that evaporates off of those plants might be on the order of 500,000 or 1 million acre foot, which is probably more than the yield of some of the proposed reservoirs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something to be said for it. It would make it a little more natural forest if we did that. But thinning forests is going to be an expensive proposition in some ways as well. So I haven't seen people really pencil it out, but it's an interesting idea.
Well, we had, and just as a follow-up, because the other day we had Jim Milestone, who is the superintendent of Whiskeytown National Park up here. And one of the things he talked about was thinning out the forest there for a couple of reasons. And one of the main reasons, though, is to take out the fuel for fire and how that works and how that saves, you know, that when it helps the control of fires there. And as I've said, somebody else has been talking about the part about how much these trees use in water and how much would that save also that way. So it's interesting, but it's a concept I think really needs to be looked at.
There are a few people around the state that are looking at it, but I haven't seen any conclusions come out yet.
Okay. We got another caller in, Doctor. Okay, Billy Bob, good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Yes, I have got a real critical question, and maybe you have the answer. 20 years ago or so, there was the engineering done on the salinization to keep the inundation of the salt water coming in from the ocean or from the Carquinez Straits right there at Antioch, and that structure, which would cost little or nothing compared to this train to nowhere, and again, it would cut the amount of water that we need to flush the delta to keep the salt from coming in and ruining all that delta agricultural ground. And that seems to be the only solution to really, really save a substantial amount of water, because I don't know if you know how many gallons has to be flushed down there every day to keep the salt water out of the delta. I'd take my answer off there, and thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Billy Bob. Did you get that, Doctor?
People have looked at building a dam near the Carquinez Straits since the 1920s. There was a really interesting study, actually the original California water plan in 1930. A large part of that was a real explicit comparison of should we build a dam down by Benicia or to essentially make the delta a freshwater lake that way, or should we build the reservoirs upstream and use the releases from the reservoirs to regulate the salinity hydraulically. And they decided at that time, based on what was a pretty good benefit-cost ratio for 1930, that the hydraulic barrier was more cost-effective than the physical barrier. Now, someone could relook at that today, and people have been from time to time. The last study I saw was in the 1970s. Turns out it is pretty expensive. It's very hard on the ship traffic. Stockton's a major port. Sacramento has a little bit of a port. For salmon migration, it would be probably a nightmare. So I think it's probably harder to justify it today for our general water management objectives today. But it might save a fair bit of water, but it's not clear to me that California is that desperate for water to undergo that expense yet. But I don't know. Someone could pencil it out and show that it makes sense.
Okay. Doctor, what about desalination? You know, I've been in a lot of the Middle Eastern countries where they get their fresh water out of the ocean right there. Has the time come yet for that?
I don't think so. The cost of desalination, at least in California, is about two or three times the cost of the next water supply. So I don't think we'll be doing it for a while. If we had to, we could be like the Middle East and have run the urban coastal cities off of seawater desalination. But right now, we're not probably willing to raise everybody's water rates by $1,000 a year.
Yeah, that and the other thing, too, is the amount of electricity so that it takes to do this. And that you know, that right there, the carbon footprint, would get people screaming and running around the room.
Right. So I mean, we're a dry place, but we're not as dry as Saudi Arabia yet.
Yeah. You know, we talked a little bit about this on our last show about is it Desert Cadillac,
Cadillac Desert,
or Cadillac Desert. You know, I was really struck by that book about how we're using so much water, growing food and putting people in places that is a desert, and how it's just a matter of time before we run out of water. Do you believe that?
No, not really. I think we are going to have to contract our water use, but it's probably on the order of 10 or 20% over the long term, and it's not nearly 80 or 100%. So I think we'll have largely the same kind of civilization and really economic prosperity that we have in California today, but it'll be an economic structure that is a little less dependent on water than what we have today, and that's a trend that we've been seeing since the 1930s. In the 1930s, 30 or 40% of our population was employed in agriculture, and today it's less than 5%. So we're, as an economy, we're much less dependent on water, and droughts affects us much less in a percentage way than they did back in the 30s.
Do you see this kind of constricting and kind of pushing the population into smaller areas and along lines corridor, you know, lines of transportation?
Oh, I think that would be helpful. Anything that makes us live in a little more dense way reduces all the transportation costs and makes us have smaller lawns and things like that. And for water use today in, across California in the urban area, urban sector, the big thing is the water we use to water our lawns. You know, that we all like nice green lawns, but it does take a lot of water.
You know, my front yard is made up of, it looks like clover. There's no grass in it. And yet, when we, you know, during the winter, when everything's turned off, it's still green. I don't know if somebody, whoever planted the yard, did this on purpose and it has extra deep roots or anything, but I found that really interesting because we have grass in the backyard and it's dead. Is there types of ground cover like that we can use that uses little or no water?
Yeah, if you go to the University Extension websites, they have a lot of advice on how to plant your gardens and your lawns so that they use a lot less water.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think some of them look pretty nice. So,
yeah.
Of course, everybody has their own taste, so you have to do what you like. But
yeah, it's clover.
We'll use less water and we'll, you know, not cost you as much in the long term.
You know, I've got one more break here. And, Dr. Lynn, can I hold you for one more? Because I want to ask you about water rights. And, you know, this is getting to be a big thing, too. You know, people that are – I'm going to throw you on the fire on this one about people who have had water rights that go back 150 years. And the stories and articles I've been reading about the amount of water they use and then, you know, how that affects other people and if you see changes in that. But we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebot, KCNR 1460. This is Free Fire Radio. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes, and the time is 8:46 in the morning, 53 degrees here on Friday, the 24th of April.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes. Smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
Charles here inviting you to enjoy Mary's new specials. We're cooking up some great new things for you to enjoy. Lemon Shrimp Linguine. It's a fresh take on shrimp scampi with a creamy white wine and lemon sauce with fresh herbs on a bed of linguine. Also, we brought some spice into the shack. Pizza alla sriracha. chicken with sriracha sauce and ranch, white cheddar, pineapple, green and crispy red onions. It's pizza with a little kick. Wraps are back also. We have the buffalo chicken, chicken Caesar wrap, or the turkey wrap. How about the shrimp bruschetta for an appetizer? Toasted slices, sourdough topped with shrimp and a garlic, lemon, and creamy white wine sauce, then topped with more garlic, parmesan, and parsley. Everything here at Mary's Pizza Shack is made from scratch from my grandmother's recipes. Come on in and enjoy.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
That justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. You know, in 6 years, we've never played the same song twice in a row until today. I don't know why, something about today that we're playing that. Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and the Bot. It is 11 minutes till 9 o'clock here on Friday, and this portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air and our friends down there with Martin. Been in the business for over 20 years. Any type of heating or cooling system, any type of heating and cooling system, his people can work on it. Not only can they work on it, they can make sure that it's running as efficiently as possible. In today's electrical market, you want things that are going to be running efficiently, and he can do that. Got an emergency, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day service. Alliance Heating and Air, give them a call, 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Alliance Heating and Air, veteran-owned business, locally owned here. We're here today with Dr. Jay Lund, who is the director for the Center for Watershed Sciences, professor of civil and environmental engineering, University of California, Davis. And wrote a, he and his group put together a paper a few years back called Mega Drought and how we can survive it. And what the good doctor has told us is, yeah, we can survive it. It's not, you know, it's, don't run in circles, scream and shout. So good morning and welcome back, doctor.
Happy to be here.
Hey, water rights. We start talking about water rights. The some people say I've got water rights that date back 150 years, and it says I can the water goes through here is mine, and I can use it the way I want. Is that true?
Mostly, that's the way major way that we allocate surface water rights, and it's the same way we allocate seats at a restaurant. You know, if you get there first, you have the pick of all the tables in the place.
Oh, okay.
So it's a very normal way to allocate things in our society and most human societies. First come, first serve.
And this type of and so this is something that they were this was given to them or they earned this much this time ago. Now we've got other farmers and ranchers down the line that have got water rights that are less time, and theirs are being graduated. Is this going to be a problem? You see.
Well, it is a problem if you don't have a way to flexibly reallocate that water. And what we've started to do in California and much of the West is to have a water market where people that have a junior water right that might have bought a very valuable, seeded in a very valuable crop, maybe almonds or something like that, that have a junior water right and they're in a drought and they will go and buy water from a senior water right holder that might have a lower value crop. And so everybody's happier than they would be otherwise during the drought.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
It's probably reduced our the cost of this drought by $1 billion or so.
Wow. Somebody else handed me a question. If on water rights, if you own a piece of property that has a creek through it, do you automatically have rights to that water?
There's something called a riparian right, and it's an older form of right that we've been trying to grandfather in the West. It came from England, where all water rights went with land that abutted a stream. I'm not sure exactly how much water right you can get now as a riparian right, but riparian rights are shorted proportionally across all the riparian right holders, and they have a higher priority than the appropriative right. So if someone has a stream, I would have them talk to their lawyer to see if they actually have a riparian right for that.
Okay. You know, Dr. Lund, it's really, you know, like I said, second time you've been on with this, and water is such a, you know, gets intense conversations going here. And it was interesting to read under your mega drought, and the impact it has on California, how you're saying is that, okay, it's not panic here, it's going to have an impact, even if it goes on for, you're looking at a 70-year model here, but it's not going to destroy agriculture. It may cut it back. It's not going to destroy our way of living. The big thing you said was building more reservoirs isn't going to do you any good in a drought because you're not going to be able to fill them. So
you have to have water to make a reservoir work.
Right. And so, for our audience, and what would be the last, your last thoughts here on mega droughts and the water problems we're having, and we're talking, people are talking about, hey, let's just keep flushing 80% of our water, I think, runoff water gets to the ocean without being held up. I don't even know if that's true.
Oh, it's much less than that. And,
okay.
And if you take out the North Coast, those North Coast rivers that have a mountain range between them and most of the water uses in the valley. If you take those out, then there's really very little water that flows to the sea, proportionally.
Okay.
It's mostly in the coastal streams.
All right. So, last thoughts for the audience about taking a look at water rights, water getting ready for a drought. How much should we cut back and all this? But there's no reason to get too excited yet.
Yeah. Well. California has always suffered with droughts, and we always will. It's going to be like hurricanes back east, an earthquake in California. We're never going to drought-proof the state, but we always should be trying to reduce the suffering that occurs from droughts. The history of droughts in California has always led to improvements in the way we manage water. The droughts of the 1930s led us to build reservoir systems and really made possible the prosperity of agriculture and many cities in the state. So there's good that comes out of droughts in the long run, but we've got to live through them in the short term. And so far we're able to do that.
Okay. Dr. Jay Lund, Director of the Center for Watershed Sciences and Professor of Civil Environmental Engineering at the University of California, Davis. Thank you so much for being with us today, Doctor.
You're very welcome. Have a good day.
You bet. And if anybody wants to take a look at what they've written there and some of the studies, it's watershed.ucdavis.edu. So it's kind of interesting, a lot of the studies they do there. Okay, Savannah, does this mean now that we don't have to take showers every fourth day and so we can continue to take showers?
Continue to take showers. That would be a great idea.
Now, what do you think is a better idea to help people, to get them into conserving water and bringing it out there? I mean, we've got this slip and slide idea, right, this water slide idea. How about if we either that or, say, communal showers down in the park?
I think I prefer the water slide idea.
The slip and slide as opposed to the communal showers.
Yes.
You could suck the water right out of the Sacramento, use biodegradable soap. Everybody takes showers, and it could be, bathing suits and all that, and everybody does this. We could have the largest shower, Guinness Book of World Records, and do that, and the water can go right back into the Sacramento,
I just got done doing that in Indonesia, so.
There you go.
That's why I prefer the water slide.
The water slide, yeah. I mean, there's been times I know this is like, oh, yeah, it was so dry, I drank water out of a dirty mule, print, that was in the sand. No, but when we were,
it was very creative.
When we were in Somalia, that we had no water, and people were, the way you kept yourself clean was you had one of those water bottles, and that gets yourself wet, and you'd soap yourself down as best you could, and then you'd have another one, those liter bottles, and pour that on you, and rinse yourself off. Now, for guys, that's not too bad, but for the WMs, women Marines we had there, and who had hair, long hair, this was a challenge for them in some cases, but. We had communal bathrooms in too, because we were, you talk about being primitive where we were at in Somalia, we were primitive. The general finally one day said, I think we better rebuild the way we're doing this. There is no secrecy. So anyway, how things change. Okay. This weekend, so many things going on this weekend. Everybody go out there. Hopefully we'll get some rain this weekend. Next week, we've got a number of things that are happening. How about dignity, death with dignity? We're going to have a show on that with somebody here in town that has done a few presentations on death with dignity for people. We have got a lot of other things going on as far as the events coming up, people being on. I'd like to have Brian Crane on from our engineer here at the city so we can talk water with him. And how much water? Because I was talking with the water people the other day, and we use water here in Reading. It's for 100,000 people, 11 million gallons that pumps out every day. So and then you get into the summer, it's like three times that amount. So I want to talk about that and just how bad it is, how much water we use on a daily basis here. Nothing else. What Rocky Slaughter and his guys have done is they've had more people talking about water and commenting on water than it has been in the last 6 months. Anyway, I want everybody to have a great weekend. And a lot of things going on, like I said, a lot of things going on tonight and this whole weekend. And remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys, which are you.
Down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
At SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Islamic terrorists suspected in the deadly bombing of a Pakistani market also planned to attack the Vatican in 2010. According to an Italian prosecutor who says the plan was abandoned, possibly because the plotters heard the authorities were on to them. Italy is pressing the U.S. for more information about how an Italian aid worker was killed in an American drone strike along the Afghan-Pakistan border. The suspected captain and a crew member of a smuggling ship are being held in Sicily in connection with a deadly disaster in the Mediterranean. The boat capsized, leaving as many as 800 people unaccounted for, only 28 survivors. Also at SRNnews.com, higher prices and less choice. Consumer groups and some others say that that's what a combined Comcast-Time Warner Cable would have brought us, but Comcast is dropping its $45 billion bid for Time Warner.